Good morning. I hope you and yours are well and blessed this morning. I know you're blessed. The season is quieted down a little bit. Unfortunately, that means some of our dear family has flown back to the homes and jobs and schools and other things that they were part of. So we've lost some of our family, immediate family connections, but the real family connection that God gives us, the amazing family connection that God gives us, that He is Father, and we are His children, is off the charts. How could you ask for anything closer to the creator of the universe than for you to call him Father? What a joy. And it emphasizes his personal care for you. Oh, we get frustrated with children. Well, some parents get frustrated with children. Mostly we're frustrated with our own parenting with our children, but what parent wouldn't jump at the response of a child coming to them in love and humility saying, I love you, I want to be closer to you? The joy of a reunion between child and parent it's so thrilling that story after story, novel after novel, movie after movie has that built into its theme of reunion, of reconnection, of families broken apart and brought back together, of families clinging to be together against the elements or against the dangers. And God says, that's us. That's us. Family. And I'll be your father. And that's permanent. And we can be his children. This morning we're going to talk about an attribute of that Father that we know well, at least we hear of it, but it's interesting how the Bible presents it to us that maybe we can grow some today in our understanding of grace. Maybe we can grow some today in our understanding of grace. Would you join with me in prayer as we get ready for this lesson? Holy Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us, that you present yourself and are indeed our Father, loving, permanent, caring, disciplining, guiding, protecting, challenging, rebuking, and that we can be your children forever and ever in a union and a loving relationship with you like none other. Father, thank you so much for this time and for your word. We pray, Lord, that as we go into your word, we indeed will learn from it as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So over the holidays, we spent some time in John chapter 1, and if you'll turn there just for a minute, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we know the beginning of John chapter 1, and in the beginning was the Word, that majestic pronunciation of Christ being before the beginning, of Christ indeed being God. And then in verse 14, we have the incarnation of the eternal God who is spirit and power becoming flesh. Incarnation. And verse 14 of John 1 reads, and the Word became flesh like the three-part God, like the first becoming last, and the leader being the servant of all, these things we'll never completely understand. What does it mean that God became flesh? In Christ, we have the perfect image of God, yet he is totally man. A true conundrum. But he dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Besides this incredible development of God himself becoming flesh, the first thing it tells us about him is that he comes filled, even before truth, filled with grace. He is full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, verse 15, and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he comes after me. He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth realized through Jesus Christ." Grace upon grace. Jesus comes full of grace. Do you know that every letter Paul wrote, every letter we have that Paul wrote to the churches, every one of them begins and ends with grace? Romans 1, verse 7. "To all Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father." Romans 16, verse 20. "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." 1 Corinthians 1, 3. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." 1 Corinthians 16, verse 23. "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." Oh, I have a number here, and it caught me off guard. The number is the collection you just gave. The grace you just gave in collecting for the Sperlins, $2,872. Amen. Romans 16, verse 20, "Grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." 1 Corinthians 1:3, "Grace and peace to you." 1 Corinthians 16:23, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you." 2 Corinthians 1:2, "Grace and peace to you from God." 2 Corinthians 13:14, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Galatians 1:3, "Grace and peace to you from God the Father." Galatians 6:18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you in spirit." Ephesians 1:2, "Grace and peace to you." Ephesians 6:24, "Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus." Philippians 1:2, "Grace and peace to you." Philippians 4:23, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Colossians 1:2, "To the holy and faithful brethren, grace and peace to you from God our Father." Colossians 4:18, Paul writing this greeting in my own hand, "Remember my chains, grace be with you." Thessalonians 1:1, "To the church in Thessalonians in God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you." 5:28, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." 2 Thessalonians 1:2, "Grace and peace to you from God." 2 Thessalonians 3:18, "The grace of our Lord be with you all." 1 Timothy 1:2, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God." 1 Timothy 6:21, "Some have professed in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be to you." 2 Timothy 1:2, "Grace, mercy, and peace." 2 Timothy 4:22, Grace be with you. Titus 1:4, grace and peace from God the Father. Titus 3:7, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having hope of eternal life. I should be 3:15, grace be with you all. Philemon 3, even little Philemon, grace to you and peace from God. And Philemon 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit. All the way through, letter after letter, every letter begins with grace. Every letter ends with grace. Even Revelation to the seven churches, grace and peace to you in Revelations 1:4 and Revelations 22, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's people. The beginning and end of every instruction that Paul wrote and of Revelation and Peter's, their letters are filled with grace. They want us to know, to have. And Peter adds one more thing. Peter talks about grace in his letter, and in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God our Jesus, God and of Jesus our Lord. And in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now I stop and pause at that one. It is obvious that the Holy Spirit wants us, when every letter brought to the church by this man, by these men, begins and ends with grace, and Jesus comes full of grace and truth, and we're brought grace upon grace. And Peter sort of wraps it up by saying, you grow in the grace. Let's stop there for just a minute. You grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, as we normally describe it, is the kindness or the free gift of God. The simple explanation is the difference between grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. You broke the law. Nobody sped on their way here this morning. Nobody violated any traffic laws this morning, did you? I won't tell. Really, confidence. If you want to come talk to me about it, it'll be confidential. But you deserve the ticket you didn't get if you did that, right? Even if you disagree, but that speed limit's way too low for that street. That street says 35, it ought to be 45. Even if you're absolutely sure they're wrong, if you violate that sign, you violate that law, you deserve to pay the fine. That's what the law says. That's a law system. And when you don't get stopped, or the police officer who does stop you lets you go on, that's mercy. When you don't get the punishment you do deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. When you get, could I put the PFD in that category, or would I be run out of the town if I said that as an Alaskan? I didn't put the oil in the ground. I didn't build the pipeline. Some of y'all probably did. I didn't get the pipeline. I didn't bring the oil companies up here. I used the product. Maybe I get it for that reason. I don't know why I get that check. But it feels like unearned income. It is unearned income, right? So grace is kindness, gift, sweetness, loveliness, goodwill, All those fall within the definition of grace. It's when you get the good things that you don't deserve. Now, I don't want to park at all in the self-criticism that some of us give ourselves, that excessive self-focus where we end up saying, oh, I don't deserve anything, I'm no good, just kick me to the side of the road and leave me alone. That's not what we're talking about. That's too much self-focus. You are a child of God. He loves you, and you are priceless to him. So I'm not talking about that aspect of gifting. I'm talking about the free kindness that God gives us. So what does it mean when Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? How do you grow in a gift? Is salvation by grace? Absolutely. We earn it not at all. How do you grow in that? There's at least a few ways to do that. The story we read is about a landowner. I don't know if you had these in your hometown. I grew up in Southern Virginia, and we had a day workers' dock down toward the railroad yard. And I'd see them in the morning. Workers would go out there, day workers, you called them. And if somebody had a job, a day job or a couple of days or a week job, you just drove down there and says, who knows, and you pick out whatever the work is, and you hired a couple of guys, and they hopped in your truck or your car, and you went off and did the work for the day. That's the setting we get out of the reading this morning. A day worker collecting point in Matthew 20. A farmer who needs workers. And by noon, all the young, strapping, experienced, and talented workers would be gone. Just the old guys and the young guys and the, well, less than talented workers would be left. But this farmer comes back again and again and again, and he hires the guys at the end of the day, the real old guys who aren't much good for the hard work, and the real young guys who don't know what they're doing. And he pays them the same. It's an application and an image of graciousness, of grace. And so part of growing in grace is growing in our understanding of God's grace. And if you grow in understanding God's grace, you grow in humility. We talk a lot about confidence. We talk a lot in Scripture. We learn a lot in Scripture about strength. And humility comes out of strength. Not out of a feeling of worthlessness or weakness. Humility comes out of strength when you realize that where you stand and what you have is a gift given you by God, when you realize that his kindness towards you is there for a purpose. You know, we are in a noble place. We stand in a mighty and noble place. Yes, we're 1 out of 7 billion people, or 200 out of 7 billion people on this planet. But we're representatives of the King. We're of the family of the King. We have his strength. We have his wealth. We have his purpose. So stand up. Sit up a little bit. Look up. Breathe in. Because you stand in a mighty place. You have a mighty and a royal and a holy purpose. What you are and what you do is holy to God. And so understanding it's his kindness and his gifting and his strengthening, not that we earned, but that he puts in us, that puts us where we are. We say, thank you, Father. What do you need me to do? So there's a great deal of growth to be had in understanding this grace that we've been given, that over and 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 over again, Scripture says, we want you to know God's grace. But there's another side of grace and graciousness, and this also comes right out of strength. And that's the graciousness of our application of grace. When you're kind, regardless of the other person's actions, when you're patient, when you're generous, when you help others, it's the opposite of being selfish or petty. Petty is raking the neighbor's leaves that fell off of his tree into your yard and back into his yard. That's petty. That's small-minded, selfish, shallow. Or he did something to your property, or he dented your trash can, so you dent his trash can, or whatever it might be. Petty, small-thinking, shallow response. Graciousness is a position of strength in which his tree dumps all of his leaves on your yard, but you rake up not only your side of that, but his side as well. He runs over your trash can and you buy him driving lessons. No, that wouldn't work. But you see how God's strength gives us graciousness? You hear about people who are gracious, who even though you interrupt them, even though you wrong them, even though you insult them knowingly or unknowingly, even though you are selfish against them, even though, they respond patiently and kindly, unselfishly, and givingly. Because that's what our Heavenly Father did. That was his grace. A lot is wrapped up in that. Even the ideas of etiquette, even the ideas of manners, holding a door open for somebody, not chewing with your mouth open, stepping back and let other people go ahead of you in the food line, making sure you're not the first one in line or the first one to grab what everybody else wants. So you don't pick the best place to sit or the most comfortable chair or the whatever it might be. That we stop and talk to people, slow down and take time with people. Graciousness, where we know people are the most important things around us, but rather than just knowing it, we actually act it out. I don't have time for this conversation. I gotta go. Okay, how you doing? Fine, thanks. See you later. Bye. No. We go ahead and sacrifice our time. We sacrifice our interest and look at one another as the Lord looks at us, as precious and valuable. And like the generous landowner, we're free to give. We're free to give to those who earned it, and we're free to give time and effort and care and teaching and whatever it might be to those who didn't earn it. that our homes are places where kind words are spoken, that our homes are places where relationships, even though broken or painful sometimes, we are determined and we never give up going back to fix them, that graciousness is part of our character. We're saved by grace, according to Ephesians 2:8. Not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. And like the parable that Jesus gives us about the man who was forgiven much, forgiven millions and millions of dollars in effect in the way Jesus told the story, and turns around and throttles a guy who owes him a few hundred dollars and throws him in debtor's prison. We have been given this graciousness from God. Let us be people who are gracious, patient, kind. That's the opposite of weakness. That's a position of strength. We stand there because God gives us the strength to stand there. We have that extra patience because God gives us the perspective to have that extra patience. We have that extra gift because God has gifted us. Graciousness. Happy New Year to the Valley Church family. And I pray that 2018 is a year in which we find many, many, many opportunities to give. You see, if somebody is giving to you and giving and giving and giving and they serve you and they bring you things, wow, you're in the tough spot. But if they back into your car, you're in a great position because now you're in the position where you can forgive. Now you can be kind in the face of some difficulty. Being kind in the face of kindness, says Jesus in Luke 6. Everybody does that. But we're supposed to be kind, caring, and giving. And he takes it all the way to the end, says, even to your enemies. So all those events that happen between friendship and enemies, all those incidentals, cut off in traffic, somebody who took your job at work, somebody telling lies about you in your life, whatever it is, our graciousness reflects our Heavenly Father. And Jesus says in that parable, you will be sons of the Most High God. So let us be people who grow in grace this year, who grow in not only the knowledge of God's grace to us, but the application of grace to everybody we meet, that we can be gracious as God is gracious. Like we said, it's by grace we're saved. There's no work that earns it. God does say, step forward and obey me. But that doesn't earn the eternity of salvation. So as we say now, obey the word, obey the gospel, as it were, and be baptized into Christ. If anybody is ready to do that now, that baptism doesn't earn anything. It's no work at all. All the work is done by God. It's simple obedience to be brought into Christ. If any have that need or any other need that we can help with, please come forward while we stand and sing the song that TJ has selected.